What up, Fifth Downers? This is Johnny Slokes, and you are listening to the Fifth Down Fantasy Football Podcast, episode 49. We are doing our waiver wire picks for week 14 to get you prepared for the playoffs. So, man, this is episode 49. We're one away from number 50. How's it going? We got my partner in crime, K-Mill, on the other line.
But, you know, man, it's amazing that we've done 50 shows. I can't believe it, you know. You look at all the
well,
hours.
We're one away.
All the blood, sweat, and tears we put into the show. All jokes aside, though, seriously, we've spent a lot of hours, and we're glad that you guys listen to us. You know, we're...
I feel like we should do something special for episode 50.
I feel like we should, too. I don't know.
Like,
I don't
maybe
know
I'll do the whole. Maybe I'll do the whole show while jerking off or something.
That would be very intense, because next show is going to be pretty long, so...
I'll be like one of those special kids with like the dry skin on the hand from doing it too much.
Shit, dude, your dick's gonna be rubbed raw, man.
All right, all dicks aside, we are gonna be doing our waiver wire show to get you prepared for the playoffs. You can find our shows on iTunes. Just search the Fifth Down Fantasy Football. You could also find us on Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio. You can find us on Podcast Addict. We post everything on Twitter. You can search us out there. If you just look us up at FitDownFF. Yeah, let's get into some news and notes before we jump into things.
Yeah, I got a piece right here that I'm actually really interested in because I've heard different opinions on it. And I want to touch on it because it's not a move I'm making, but, you know, it's news. So Justin Forsett was signed by the Denver Broncos, and Capri Bibbs was placed on IR. So that means that pretty much it's Devontae Booker's show right now. However, he's unimpressed, so I will say this. I would look at Forsett because if there's anybody that can get something out of him, it's Kubiak. However, I'm not picking him up.
I'm glad that you brought this up early in the show so we don't have to talk about him later in the show. Justin Forsett right now, he's owned in 7% of Yahoo leagues. They signed him in response to Bibbs being on IR with a high ankle sprain. He gets to reunite with his old coach, Gary Kubiak. I'll just watch somebody else pick him up at this point. I'm not a Booker owner. He's, like you said, he hasn't really impressed, but I just don't have anyone that's worth dropping for him, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's good news for you know, Booker owners. I mean, you know, you keep your, you know, he's pretty much got the backfield to himself, and then, you know, Forsett probably will work as more of a change of pace, but...
What do you think he's going to get, like 5 to 6 touches?
I mean, to start, who knows? Maybe he does something like Capri Bibbs, and he just, you know, maybe he gets more opportunity. Maybe Kubiak from the get-go, as soon as he has, you know, he already has a comfort level with Kubiak's offense. He used to be the OC in Baltimore, so maybe he, I don't know, like has a scheme for him. Or, you know, I don't know. There's so many parameters, but it's just this year he's averaged 3.2 yards a carry. He has not impressed at all to this point this season, so I would go ahead and just leave him there.
I mean, props to him. He keeps finding jobs. I think this is like his 8th or 9th different team he's played for.
he's 31. He's hitting a brick wall.
Earl Thomas, done for the year. He has broke his tibia. That's going to be a blow to the Seattle defense. So I just felt like mentioning that. Charles Sims should be returning this week. You know, it looked like Martin was hurt last week. It looked, was it like a back injury? That could
yeah,
be an interesting
amazing
little ad.
Yeah, it was suspicious. I didn't, you know, he was playing well enough. He shouldn't have been benched. So it makes me feel like he suffered some sort of an injury. So I think we'll get into this later.
No, I think he suffered a back injury.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's
something
to
look into going forward.
What's that?
Because it's definitely something to look forward to or looking into going forward because I've seen a lot of Jaquizz Rodgers.
Yeah, he's definitely going to be a hot pickup this week. We'll get more into that, though.
You already touched on Bibbs and Forsett. I just think it's funny. Kaepernick got benched after only five passes, and you know, this is what I was trying to tell people is I never like playing these warm weather players going into cold weather teams because they tend to not perform very well. I mean, it was Kaepernick's first snow game of his life, and he got benched after five passes.
Yeah, well, it was a horrible showing from like the get go. I mean, I know he was a hot waiver pickup, but if you were just looking, you know, like, oh, hey, he had a big week, he blew up, and then now I'm going to start him immediately. I think you made a mistake.
Well, he's been actually pretty hot. He's like the, I think he was like quarterback 12 for like the past like month.
No, I know that, but I think I cautioned a lot of people. I said I wouldn't start Kaepernick unless you have suffered a horrible quarterback injury or, you know, something or this or that. I said I wouldn't start him. I said if you do claim him on waiver priority, I said he's a priority at, but you should keep him on your bench and watch. And Chicago, with that bad weather, you know, you hit the nail right on the head. That was the big problem for him, I think. However, it's going to be interesting to keep your eye on because I don't know, because it sounds like, you know, Chip Kelly is such a wild card. I have no idea if this means Kaepernick is benched again for good or if and they're going to let Gabbard get another shot or what. I can't read the guy.
I think they'll put him back in. I mean, this
will
right
too.
Here was just
I
a classic.
Will but I have,
it was
I
just
have
a classic
respect for Kelly.
I mean, it was just a classic example of it's this time of the year where you really got to pay attention to, you know, the weather, especially in, like, these games that are played in the northern part of the country, you know. I mean, there's snow in Chicago, snow in Green Bay. I mean, it's going to happen. So just keep that in mind going forward. RG3 is expected to start, according to Pat McManaman of ESPN.
Yeah, I would take that with a grain of salt. We'll get into that later. But, yeah, that's something to definitely keep your eye on.
And Danny Amendola, he's most likely out for the year with a high ankle sprain. I don't want to get into too much of that because I got something I want to go over later on in the show about that situation.
I have one comment on that. Who cares?
I mean, it's going to play some implications. We'll get into that later.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm talking about Amendola in general. Fuck him. Who cares?
Thomas Rolls, yeah, he went through concussion protocol, but he should return. He should be good to go.
Yeah, he's had an excellent game this weekend. Hope he's okay.
Anything else to add?
I think I'm good. Let's get into the heroes and zeros, huh?
Yeah, there were some good performances. Flacco went 36 for 47, 361 yards, four touchdowns, the interception. Stafford, 30 for 42, 341 yards, two touchdowns. Dalton, 332 yards and two touchdowns. Wentz had a very bad performance, but still had 300 yards. Carson Palmer went 300 for three touchdowns. Who is your hero at quarterback for this week? Go.
I got to go. I just watched the game just a second ago. I got to go with Andrew Luck.
I didn't even mention him.
Yeah, 278 yards and four TDs. And it was nice. And you know what, too? I just want to touch on this briefly. Moncrief, man, keeps scoring. He keeps scoring a touchdown every single game.
What do you have, two?
What's that?
Did he have two?
No, yeah, I believe he only had. Yeah, he only had the one, I think.
It seems like every, like you're saying, every game he just keeps scoring.
Yeah, but I mean, getting back to Andrew Luck, he looked phenomenal. He looked like, you know, first two seasons Andrew Luck. I know he's been taking a beating because of that offensive line, but he looked in rare form tonight. I mean, don't get me wrong, this Jets secondary was very burnable, but, you know, he did a really great job.
I mean, look how good he can do once his line actually protects him. Granted, I know the Jets don't really have a very good pass rush, but, I mean,
yeah.
Look, I'm just saying, look how good he can do when you actually give him some protection.
Yeah, exactly.
My hero for the week is based on the fact that you could have picked him up right off of the waiver wire. Flacco, we call him Flaccid, we give him a lot of shit, but he played very well against the Miami Dolphins. He had 361 yards, four touchdowns, and it seemed like it just seemed like every one of them was just a big play.
Yeah, he obliterated the Dolphins. I mean, you can't say much more about his you know, he's a guy I constantly like to write off, but, you know, I'll give credit where credit's due, and You know, I think there's sometimes where I'm going to miss the ball, and I did this week. You know, Joe Flacco, he had an excellent performance. 381 yards, 4 TDs.
I believe he was quarterback 2 this week. You could have picked him up off the waiver wire.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was widely available. I believe right now Yahoo numbers, he's only 23% owned. So that's something to definitely keep your eye on. I mean, I don't know how much I would trust a guy like Joe Flacco down the stretch, but he definitely looked good this week.
Well, we'll get into that later. We'll go over our Blue Falcons for quarterbacks, the Blue Falcons 0 of the week. Who do you got?
Well, I didn't want to take the obvious one in Colin Kaepernick because we already gave him a bunch of shit earlier, but I'm going to go with the guy that also threw tonight on the opposite end of the spectrum. So you had, you know, Andrew Luck, who was phenomenal, and he had Fitz ass kicked, who just, dear God. He is the living example of, like, why you need to go to OTAs and go to training camp and all that stuff and not hold out for your stupid contract because, the Jets, man, put a fork in him. Fitzpatrick. He only had 81 passing yards tonight, so there you go.
Yeah, it was just like his second or third time being benched this year.
Yeah, he couldn't even eclipse 100 yards.
I mean, he made the Colts defense look like the Seahawks defense.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. And the Colts, I think this was like the week to stream Fitzpatrick. I mean, he had a great matchup against the depleted Colts defense. I mean, but yeah, he couldn't do anything with it. He proved that he's that horrible.
My 0 of the week was actually, I know we were doing our matchup show. I said he was my quarterback of the week. Drew Brees had a very uncharacteristic game at home against one of the weaker defenses in the league against the Detroit Lions. Drew Brees, he had 326 yards passing, but 0 touchdowns, 3 big interceptions as they fall to the Detroit Lions. It's probably going to cost them a playoff spot. He is no good. He is my Blue Falcon.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't peg the Saints to go to the playoffs anyways, but on the same token, yeah, that, you know, I think the biggest thing is, you know, you can throw for 500 yards, but if you throw those, if you lose that turnover differential, your team will most likely lose the game.
Yeah, and just one more extra pick. Tyrod Taylor only threw for 191 yards and threw an interception, no touchdowns against Oakland. He did have a rushing touchdown, but very disappointing.
Yeah, it's disappointing because it was a great matchup, too. I mean, that was a great matchup for Tyrod, and he's disappointed.
All right, who is your hero of the week for running back?
I know there's a couple that I like. I'm going to take the obvious one. I'm going to go with Jordan Howard. He was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, in a game where, you know, I knew that he was going to get a lot of work with the way the weather was, because, you know, Matt Barkley, you know, I think the Bears, the minute they saw the weather, was like, you know, give it to fucking Howard. Don't fumble the ball. And he had 32 carries, 117 yards, and 3 touchdowns. I mean, I think that pretty much is like a fantasy week winner in any.
Yeah, he was running back number 2 behind only David Johnson because David Johnson had 9 receptions. But great play that this week, especially if you're in like a DFS league. And, whew, very good. My hero of the week, I pegged him as my number 1 running back, my start of the week, and he put out, man. LeSean McCoy, he had 17 carries for 130 yards, 7 catches for an additional 61 yards, with 191 total yards of offense. He was getting it done.
He was, you know, and the only thing that was disappointing was that Gillislee vultured 2 touchdowns from him. I think about how big his number
is. I know. I mean, you'd like to see him get at least one of those, right?
Yeah, exactly. At least one for Shady. I mean, he definitely deserved it, man. He was running his ass off this weekend.
All right, let's go over. Who is your hero of the week for wide receiver?
Hero of the week for wide receiver. I'm going to go with Jordy Nelson. Packers struggling as of late. You know, they've kind of got it back together in recent weeks, and Jordy Nelson has been getting it done, man. I mean, against a Houston defense who's, you know, pretty middle of the road, but he had 10 targets, 8 receptions, 118 yards, and he had a TD. I think that is a great performance for a wide receiver in any fantasy league.
I think that was an excellent choice for your hero of the week for wide receiver in a game where Aaron Rodgers only threw for 209 yards against a tough pass defense. Jordy Nelson accounted for, like you said, 118 yards for
over,
touchdown.
Over half.
In a snow game. So that's really good. My hero of the week, I know I was a lot higher on this guy this past week than you were. I think I had him at number 14. Golden Tate, he definitely put out, especially with Marvin Jones being out of the lineup, 8 catches, 145 yards, and a touchdown. I think 66 of that came off the touchdown grab. But he definitely put out against the weak New Orleans Saints defense, and I think he got wide receiver 1 of the week, I believe.
I would think that you were right. Yeah, I think in our league, which is like a half point PPR, he got 29 points, and yeah, he had a phenomenal performance. I mean, it seemed like he was just his yards after the catch were phenomenal. I wrote him off at the start of the season. He's really getting it together. He looks like that top receiver after, you know, Marvin Jones was that guy for, you know, a little bit of the season.
You know, we almost forgot our zeros, our Blue Falcons for running back. Do you want to touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, I thought we were going to go over those afterwards. My zero for running back this week is Lamar Miller, man. I mean, I know he exited with a rib injury, but looking over his numbers, it still doesn't give him an excuse. You know, he had 14 carries. He only got 22 yards. He just was not getting it done. He hasn't been in recent weeks. And I think if you're a Lamar Miller owner like myself, and I know you own him in a couple of weeks too, you know, it's time to start, you know, maybe thinking, you know, do I want him in my lineup type of thing? Because, you know, in the playoffs, you need to maximize points. And I know they say start your studs, but you got to start thinking of some backup.
He's not healthy. He's just not healthy. He only had 18 total yards if you add his negative 4-yard reception. That's just not what you're looking for, especially if you're a team that's trying to make the playoffs. He fucked you over.
Yeah, especially when he was a guy that I thought could potentially be the overall RB1 end of season. You know, he just has not been getting it done. You know, he's getting the volume, obviously. He had 14 carries, even with the injury. But, yeah, just what was it, eight total yards from scrimmage? I mean, that's just not getting it
18
done.
18 total yards.
18, that's, my, yeah, because of the 4, yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, My Blue Falcon of the week for running back, Mark Ingram, he went against the Lions. He had 7 carries for 37 yards. He did have 5 receptions during a PPR league, though, but it was only for 16 yards.
Yeah, another case.
I was kind of expecting him to do a lot better, especially how he played last week. You're just hoping that that momentum would just carry over against the Lions, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah, you know, the Saints, you know, they had the Lions have one of the best run defenses in the league, but you know, him and Hightower both just couldn't get their feet out from under them, and it just, yeah, and they could establish the run. Nothing went right for the Saints on Sunday.
Well, the whole offense was just terrible. You're gonna notice this trend for my Blue Falcons.
Jeez, yeah.
Who did? Because I know you picked for wide receiver your Blue Falcon. We both had the same one, so I picked another one.
Yeah, well, I had Allen Robinson. I'll just get that out of the way. You know, I know that Blake Bortles has had his struggles this year. It continued on Sunday. He had 2 interceptions. But, you know, I keep wanting to refer back to it because it's like, you know, is Allen Robinson really that bad? Is it always his fault? And at first I was like, no, it's not. It's because Blake Bortles is pretty fucking erratic with his passes. But, you know, he had 10 targets. He only had 3 receptions and 31 receiving yards, you know. And you know what? Another thing I saw about him, and I hate to waste time, but, you know, there was just a lack of effort out there. You know, there were some balls where they were hitting him right in the hands or they were catchable balls, and he wasn't putting that extra effort needed into what a team's number one receiver should be.
Sometimes I feel like he just tries too hard to make an amazing catch when he could just make a normal catch.
I don't know. I saw that, you know, sometimes there was too much effort and sometimes there was too little effort. And then it looked like a lot of the time he was huffing and puffing and he had a horrible attitude about him. And, you know, I was surprised at how many balls that, you know, BB was throwing, and they were very catchable balls. And he just was not putting that extra effort needed. I mean, they were hitting him in the hands. You need to catch it if it hits your hands.
Yeah, he finished as – I had him officially as my Blue Falcon as well, but I'll pick another one. He was wide receiver 72, and Allen Robinson over the past 2 weeks only has 5 catches for 55 yards.
Good job, Allen.
If we my other mine is Michael Thomas. I had him as my wide receiver 7 this week, and he finished at wide receiver 56. I think I'm just kind of picking on the New Orleans Saints at this point. We'll go on to tight ends. Who is your hero of the week for tight end?
Travis Kelce getting it done once again for Kansas City. 8 targets, 8 receptions. He caught all passes when he was targeted, 140 yards. But still, the notorious TD didn't happen. So that's been a constant theme for him. He's not getting the touchdowns, but, man, he's getting it done, you know, with the yardage and the receptions and the targets.
My hero of the week for tight end is Dennis Pitta. He had 11 targets. He caught 9 of them for 90 yards. His first 2 touchdowns of the year. Congratulations to him. I was talking every time I talk shit about a player, he ends up doing good.
Yeah, I know, right? Every time we talk shit about somebody, they end up fucking just burning us, and he burned us in a big way this week. You know, 2 touchdowns, and I don't know the exact yardage total, but, man, he was on a tear, and, I mean, the whole Ravens offense was just firing on all cylinders.
I don't know if he really burnt a lot of people. He was only owned in 33% of leagues going into this league for Yahoo, so he was the number one tight end, and he was on the waiver wire for most leagues.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he's been on the waiver wire perennially. I would pick him up occasionally and be like, oh, well, you know, I guess my tight end's on a bye, so I'll pick him up. And then it always ended up just he would just give me usually a goose egg or close to it.
I picked him up one time and I was like, nope, never again. You gave me a 4 for 23. I don't want that.
Yeah, mediocrity at its finest. Yeah, I think that's pretty much everybody, huh?
Who's your Blue Falcon for tight end? I had a couple that I didn't like.
Yeah, I think probably the biggest glaring one, and I know I can't keep banging beating the drum on him every week, but Greg Olsen, man, he continues to not get it done, and I don't know how much of it is his fault or how much of it is Cam Newton's fault. Either way, you know, he had 7 targets, only 3 receptions, and 30 yards. Bottom line, he's got to get better.
I think a lot of it was Seattle Seahawks' fault, but he's been doing this for a while now, for like the past like 5-6 weeks.
Yeah, that's what makes me
number 22, and that's just not what you want of that kind of a tight end where you had to draft him.
Yeah, but this has been going on for weeks, like you said. You know, I can't just chalk this up to Seattle's excellent defense. So
no, it's been an ongoing trend. His target share has actually gone down, and Ted Ginn's has gone up.
Yeah.
My tight end, Blue Falcon, zero of the week is Martellius Bennett. He had 4 targets, 2 catches for only 4 yards.
In Gronk's absence.
This is Gronk out.
Yeah.
So that is no good, but let's jump into our quarterbacks. There's really not a whole lot out there in terms of quarterbacks. We'll just go over it. Hey, would you rather string this guy if your quarterback's in a bad matchup?
Okay.
All right. Colin Kaepernick, he's 49% owned. I don't think that you could really trust him going forward, can you? I mean, he does play the Jets next week.
You know, I don't know. But I think if he gets the start, I'm sorry to cut you off. I think if he gets the start, you know, he's worth a look. But at the same time, you need to keep your eye on this situation like the entire week and see what Chip Kelly's going to go. Like I said, he's a wild card. You don't know what's going to go.
I mean, I tend to think that he's going to stay the quarterback. He's been playing well, but he had to play in the snow, and something he's never done before.
Yeah, it was...
The good news is he never has to play in cold weather again this year.
Yeah, it was one aberration. I wouldn't write him off specifically. I know for a fact that, you know, if my quarterback has a bad matchup and say I have Colin Kaepernick on my team, I would definitely consider starting him if he's going to start.
I mean, he definitely has a nice little schedule going forward. I mean, he plays the Jets next week. After that, he does have to go on the road, but it's against Atlanta. And then he has to go on the road again, but it's against LA, so.
Yeah, it's something that definitely fantasy owners should monitor going forward. But, however, I don't think this is like a death sentence. I don't think that, you know, I just keep your eye on it. That's all I'm saying.
Carson Wentz, we're done streaming him, right? I mean, since his bye week, he has 7 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. On the year, he has 12 touchdowns, 11 interceptions.
Yeah, you know, do so at your own risk. If you want to stream him, you know, you did not get our seal of approval, because I am done tooting his horn. You know, he was on a tear at the start of the season, and I was tooting his horn, but no longer. If you do it, it's at your own risk.
And the remaining of his schedule, he does play Washington at home this next week, but after that, he gets to play on the road against Baltimore, and he gets to play the Giants. So, no good.
No good.
One streaming option I do like, he's not going to give you outstanding numbers, but he's going to give you something steady. He's probably something like an efficient play. Alex Smith gets to play at home against Oakland. It is a division game, though, so that's one thing you got to worry about.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, like we've said it all the time, you know, you shouldn't really think about streaming Alex Smith unless you're absolutely desperate. You would have to be in a really bad quarterback situation because he just doesn't do enough. He's not even running as much as he used to. So, and that was where his value came from. Make plays happen on his feet, you know, occasionally make that big throw on third down, you know. He hasn't been getting it done.
And then Tannehill, I don't know if I really want to trust him against Arizona, so we can move on. Got Flacco, he's on the road, though, against New England, and against Philadelphia after that. So I wouldn't recommend that.
Well, you know what? I'm one of the guys that I'm kind of a New England defense truther, you know. Their pass defense isn't, like, as big and bad as everybody makes them out to be. I think they're definitely exploitable in certain areas. So I think that Joe Flacco, I would definitely think at least next week is worth some streaming consideration. But you also have to think of what you're getting in Joe Flacco. You know, he's the symbol of mediocrity at quarterback, so you're doing so at your own risk.
I feel like New England's one of those defenses where, like, they give up a lot of yards, but they give up touchdowns. They're kind of like the Lions. Like, they give up the yards, but they don't give up the touchdowns.
I think they're a little bit overrated, but, yeah, I do see that. I think you're definitely right on that one. They don't give up the big plays here, you know, as much as you'd think. But, yeah, they definitely do give up the yards. So, who knows? I'm just saying, you know, Joe Flacco, I think that he's definitely worth a look. However, you know, you really got to keep your eye on it. You have to be in a pretty bad spot to, you know, be wanting to start Joe Flacco over, like, a stud.
This next one is a two-part question. Do you think Fitzpatrick is streamable against the 49ers next week? He's on the road. And also the second part of the question is, do you think he even starts?
Answer to the first part. Well, let's answer question two before, because no, I don't think that he starts. I think after such a god-awful performance, I think that, you know, this could... I think that the Jets have just had enough. I think they need to pull the plug as soon as possible. However, if in case he does start, this is a very exploitable matchup, very good matchup for him. But, you know, as tonight,
so is Indianapolis.
That's what I was gonna come full circle on it. I mean, tonight was a great matchup for him, and he couldn't do anything. He looked horrible. He made the Indianapolis defense look like all stars. So I'm gonna
finish it with, trim that beard because he is not worthy.
No, he is not worthy. So my answer is a simple, flat no.
I'm the last quarterback I really want to mention because after this it gets real bad. This is really a very good option either. Sam Bradford, 11% owned. He plays Jacksonville next week, so maybe not so much this week. But going forward, plays Indianapolis, and then he plays Green Bay.
Yeah, you know, no.
That's what I'm saying. It's not a very good option.
Here's the thing. You want to think of, like, a mediocre quarterback. He's like a, you know, an Alex Smith, except he doesn't run. And I mean, he's essentially an Alex Smith currently who doesn't run. So you're getting the exact same thing. Just don't do it unless you're in a really bad spot.
So basically what you're saying this week is if you have a bad matchup at quarterback, you're just going to roll with it. You're not going to really pick someone up.
There's no really good streamable candidates. The only one I would maybe toot the horn on is Kaepernick, because I'm gonna say last week was an aberration, and I know that, you know, everyone wants to jump on me saying that, oh wow, like, really, you want to toot his horn after, you know, that horrible performance. I'm just saying it was an aberration. Like you said, it was his first game in the snow. He is my only streamable candidate this week. If you don't have Kaepernick rostered, I would go ahead and just stick to your guns, man. Start your guy that you've been pushing.
He's my stream of the week, too. I'm still rolling with Derek Carr.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And I have Matthew Stafford in the league that I own Kaepernick, and I think I'm just going to roll with Stafford.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's go over to running back. Let's play a little bit of higher fire with a couple of these guys that I don't know if they're worthy or not. They'll get your take.
All right.
Jarrett McKinnon, he's 44% owned in Yahoo leagues. Since week nine, he has not gotten double digit carries except for one time.
Yeah, I'm gonna say fired because this backfield is just something I just want to stay away from. I'm gonna say fired just on the simple fact of that it's just hard, you know. So if he rarely has a chance to get a touchdown because anytime the Vikings are in the red zone, rarely, you know, it's Asiata that's getting the carries in the red zone. And then, you know, he's just not getting enough volume to make it worthwhile. I know that people want to, you know, maybe, oh, hey, he'll have a big game here, a big game there. I'm just not seeing it. I wouldn't go for him.
And yeah, I think AP might come back.
Yeah. And that's going to make it even worse. Oh my God. I can't even, that's going to be the backfield from hell.
All right. The next guy I wanted to bring up was actually his counterpart, Matt Asiata.
Let me put it to you this way. I'm going to say fired as well on Asiata, but the thing is I would rather start Asiata than I would McKinnon, because at least Asiata has a chance to get a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, it was McKinnon that got the touchdown last week, but that's been a rare occurrence. I'm just, like you said, I'm not really liking this Minnesota backfield.
Yeah, I would just do yourself a favor. Don't even get yourself involved. I would honestly rather start a guy like that's a backup on a team like Bilal Powell before I started either of these guys. Or Tevin Coleman. I would rather start a backup on a team.
All right, this next guy, Hire Fire, Ivory.
Chris
Ivory. He's hurt. Don't know when he's coming back. 46% owned.
He is hurt. He's coming back. I would say Hire just on the simple fact of, you know, they don't really have any better options. Obviously, Denard Robinson didn't do anything this weekend. TJ Yeldon has been injured off and on. Hasn't looked impressive at all. So I'm going to say higher just on the simple fact of, you know, they have nobody else.
It is interesting to note, Yeldon's still 55% owned. He had 14 carries for 55 yards. He had 7 targets, but caught 3 of them. And 27 yards. Remarkably, though, that means he got out-touched by Denard Robinson. Denard Robinson had 18 touches before injuring his ankle.
Yeah, like I said, they have nobody.
It's not a good situation.
I would stay away from it, but I would say...
What really blows my mind, though, is Christine Michael is still 44% owned. And, you know, it looks like he finally got more touches than Starks. But that's not saying much because it was only like 7 touches.
Yeah, there was no opportunities for running backs in that Green Bay offense. That's another one I would just stay away from. I was hopeful at first, you know, because I had Christine Michael on one of my benches. And I was like, I might hold on to him for a week until I, you know, find somebody better to pick up. Just, you know what, he's better left on the waiver wire.
Yeah. Last one. Smallwood, 36% owned.
You know, this is another one that, you know, everybody's like, one of these running backs has got to, you know, break through. And to be honest with you, Ryan Matthews has been talking.
It was Sproles.
Yeah. Ryan Matthews might start this week. And, if Ryan Matthews is healthy enough to start this week, I fully expect him to start. That's just my take on it.
I did read a blurb saying that Ryan Matthews and Jordan Matthews should both be back.
I did. Yeah. Doug Peterson said that today. But the thing is, yeah, this thing is just as murky as the Minnesota backfield. You know, you got everybody like kind of shifting in here. You got a 3-way committee essentially. And if Ryan Matthews starts, I think they're probably just gonna make him the primary ball carrier. But really, it's gonna be more like a 2- or 3-way split.
And you're going back a little bit towards the Minnesota backfield. Here is how bad and McKinnon are. Asiata's 47% owned. McKinnon's 44% owned. And Adrian Peterson's 47% owned, and he's not even playing right now.
Yeah, there you have it. Need I say?
Yeah, I feel like, though, if he's available in your league, go ahead and snatch him up.
Who, Adrian Peterson?
Yeah,
man. You know what? My take, and I'm just gonna give this real quick. I'm not gonna elaborate on it real quick. He doesn't have any contract assurances. if he does play, it's going to be very deep into the playoffs. You might only be able to use him one game. He wasn't impressive when he did start this year. And I don't think that the Vikings are going to want to rush a guy like him back, considering that their playoff hopes are slipping away every game. So me personally, I'm staying away from Adrian Peterson because it's just a bad situation. There's so many different parameters. And if he does come back, it's going to only be for a game. And we haven't seen anything good out of him. He's coming off of a serious knee injury. Yeah, I just want to stay away from the whole thing.
My thing is, I would rather have him on my bench doing nothing or blowing up than having someone else pick him up and having him blow up against me.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. For the simple thing of, like, if you have an IR spot opened up or, you know, an empty bench spot, like, say that you could definitely. But I'm saying there's so many more usable people on the waiver wire right now.
Let him rot.
Let him rot. All
right. Kenneth Dixon, last week he out-touched Wes, but this week was not the case.
Yeah.
He was out-touched by Wes 13-10. But he had an impressive carries per carry. It was like 9.
Yeah, you know, he continues to just be the more impressive runner. But the Ravens, they, oh my God, I hate when teams do this. The fucking committee from hell backfield. And this looks like it's got 50-50 written all over it for like the rest of the season. So I really disappointing because I was really hoping Dixon could break away from West, but it doesn't look like he might have this opportunity this year. However, I'm saying that, you know, he's a guy with,
still keep him.
Still keep him. I want to see how that situation develops. And that's all I got to say about him. I actually have another name to bring up, too, speaking of that.
Go for it.
Another guy I just want to mention real quick, and I don't want to, you know, beat the dead horse here, but Paul Perkins. He is a guy who, you know, recent weeks, man, Rashad Jennings hasn't been impressive. But yet, you know, Paul Perkins has an exceptional yards per carry average. He continues to be the flashier, more effective runner. I know a lot of people like to write him off, but I wouldn't write him off just yet. If you got a free bench spot, he might be worth a stash. I know in a couple leagues, you know, he's worthy of a bench spot for me.
You know, the only issue that I have with him is I just don't think he's going to get that majority.
I don't think he will either.
You know,
I don't know. I'm just saying.
I feel like he's going to be, like, at best, like a 60-40 running back, him being the 40.
Yeah, you know, and I see that too. And I definitely err on the side of caution with this because I am ready to, like, you know, I know a lot of people are ready to drop him. And that's my thing, you know, go ahead and drop him. But I'm telling you, if you, say, have a deep bench or if you have a, you know, just an empty bench spot, if somebody that's completely droppable, like John Brown on your bench, man, get rid of him. Pick up Perkins because the best that can happen, you get a 2 or 3 down back. Worst case scenario, you have him run on your bench.
Next guy I want to talk about, we touched on him a little bit earlier. Gillis Lee, he had 8 carries for 49 yards, 2 touchdowns. Yeah, that gives him 4 touchdowns in the past 3 games.
Yeah, I know. That was impressive. He remains one of the premier handcuffs to own in the league. He also has some standalone flex value, I think, now, if you look at it. So he's definitely an add this week. I have him on one of my benches. I think that he's definitely a guy that you could really get some good value out of down the stretch, especially with a McCoy injury.
I mean, I think he almost has some standalone value in a run-heavy offense.
Well, that's what I said. Yeah, essentially, yeah, he's got to be in your flex conversation now, definitely, if he's on your bench or if he does somehow get on your team through the waiver process.
Le'Veon Bell owners, D-Will's still available. He should be coming back this week.
Yeah.
He's 21% owned, so
yeah,
really not much more to say on that.
Yeah, if you're a Le'Veon owner, man, you need to make a bench spot for D-Will. Just have him down the stretch. If you think you're going anywhere in the fantasy playoffs, you got to handcuff Le'Veon because he's fragile, and D-Will can get it done in that offense.
I got a question for you. Out of these next 2 running backs, which one would you rather have? They both play for Tampa Bay, Jaquizz Rodgers or Charles Sims?
I think Jaquizz I'm leaning towards right now because, you know, Charles Sims, to be honest, it seems like Jaquizz is the more healthy of the two. And I don't know. It just seems to me like what's going to end up happening is Jaquizz is going to get like the early down work. And then Sims will do basically what he did with Martin. He'll be the passing down guy. He'll get some work. And honestly, it could end up turning into like a 50-50 split, to be honest with you. It's a situation where I'm really monitoring it, you know, myself.
The way I'm looking at it is Sims, he's been out for the past 10 weeks. So he's not going to come back like instantly. They're going to want to bring him back real slowly because they already seen that Jaquizz Rodgers does a pretty good job at what he does.
Yeah.
So, we already touched on Forsett. There's one guy that I think might be worth an add, Rex Burkhead. He had 8 carries, 38 yards, 4 catches off 5 targets with another 28 yards. That gives him 19 touches in 2 weeks.
You know what, man? Yeah, I guess, but, you know.
He's playing the Geo role.
He is playing the Geo role, but that's the thing, you know, that could get phased out week to week depending on what's going on, as referenced by Geo Bernard's workload. So I would keep an eye on it. I wouldn't really want to add Rex Burkhead unless I legit had an extreme drop candidate on my team.
Now, the last guys I want to talk about, I'm going to go by them real fast. These are just potential handcuffs that you could have. Obviously, Andre Ellington for David Johnson. And I think the new handcuff for Lamar Miller is Alfred Blue.
Yeah.
I mean, it seemed like he was getting the majority of that work.
Yeah, I think that Texans backfield is becoming harder to predict or to read than fucking Egyptian hieroglyphics. So, I would just go ahead and I want to say it's 1 week. I want to say it's Hunt. The next week I want to say it's Blue. The next week I want to say it's Grimes. So I have no fucking idea. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I'm just saying, you know, it's just something I don't even know. I don't think anybody knows the answer to this question of who to own in a Lamar Miller emergency. I have no idea.
And these next two are just some guys that they play behind some injury prone running backs. Artis Payne, we know the Payne train, he'll get the carries. What if, Jonathan Stewart was to go down? And, you know, it might not even take a whole lot. It could be like another hot ankle sprain, and they'd be like, all right, Stewart, you're done. And, one other guy is, Sean John. He's got like 5 carries in the snow game, and, you know, Hyde is an injury guy.
Yeah, you know, the other thing too is, you know, don't count out Harris. You know, he was, very prominent when, Hyde was injured, so keep him in mind.
All right, let's go over to wide receiver. We'll do the same thing, hire, fire for these next few guys. Muhammad Sanu, he hurt his groin this last game. He is 54% owned.
Taylor Gabriel. Fire. Oh, you're talking about Muhammad Sanu?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fired. Let's stop talking about him.
Alan Hearns, 54% home.
Fired. No. Get him out of here.
John Brown, 48%.
Fired. Goose egg, man. No way.
Will Fuller finally had a decent game. It was like 554. He's 43% owned, but I don't know if you can trust him.
You know what? Man, I definitely couldn't trust him. He is a guy I would only want on my bench in extreme circumstances, depending on the size of your bench. But in a standard league or in a PPR where you have like a standard 6 bench spots, no. Just don't do it. In a 12 or 14 team league, maybe a 14 team league, I don't know.
Alright. Then the last guy, Cameron Meredith, 37%.
I would say monitor the Marquise Wilson injury, and then, you know, if that ends up alluding to something, you know, I keep wanting to say, oh, there was, you know, Jeffrey suspended, oh, Marquise Wilson, you know, so maybe now Meredith will be something, but, you know, it's so hard to predict. I would go ahead and just say fired, just on the pretenses of the only time he did shit
was... It seems like every week it's a different receiver over there for Chicago.
Yeah, it'll probably be him next.
Because, I mean, this past week it was some dude I'd never heard of.
Yeah, and then now I hear that there's a guy, Bellamy, you know, Josh Bellamy. He...
Yeah, that's who it was. This next guy, I can't believe, is 64% owned. Tavon Austin.
Yeah, you know what? Oh, man, you know what? With Jared Goff, Yeah, no, he should have been dropped a long time ago. I would not touch him with a 10-foot pole. I can't trust him. You know, the thing is, you know, you're going to start him for that blowout or blow up that will never happen. It's like it'll only happen when you least expect it. Just don't. It's so hard to predict with him.
Michael Floyd, he had a touchdown, but you only had 18 yards. Congratulations. I wouldn't pick him up. But this next guy I kind of like, Taylor Gabriel, 38% owned. Since week 8, he has either 5 receptions or 68 yards, and he has 4 touchdowns in that span.
Yeah, he's been very impressive lately, and I think that's why you don't want Mohamed Sanu on your team, because of the emergence of Tyler Gabriel. You know, with Julio Jones, you know, you don't know what this, usually he's always questionable week to week, and you know, he ends up starting even though he's been limited. So you never know what's going to happen with that. And if there is, for some reason, you know, God forbid, a Julio injury, you know, man, this is going to be the guy. I mean, I know he's already seeing production right now. It's only going to go up.
All right. I mean, I love what I've seen. I think even if Sanu returns, he's taking over that wide receiver 2 role for that team.
I think so too.
I love the speed.
I agree. He is a nice play.
Tyler Lockett, come out of nowhere. He had 6 targets, 5 receptions, 63 yards, and does also had a 75-yard touchdown run. 37% owned. Still, though, he is still behind Baldwin and Graham.
And Curse.
In target share. And Curse. Curse came out of nowhere.
Yeah, so, you know, me, I'm not rushing to the waiver wire to get him. I'm going to stay fired on the fact of the opportunity just not there. I think the talent has always been there. It's just he doesn't have the opportunity.
And I wrote this list before the Monday night game. I had a new one on there. I don't think you're picking him up, though.
No, leave him there.
But one guy I do like, these next 3 I do like. Pierre Garçon, 32% owned. He has 30 targets over the past 4 games, and he's over 75 yards in 3 of those games.
Yeah, especially in a PPR league, he can definitely get you your nut week in, week out. So, you know, at least get you to the floor.
I mean, I like what I've seen target-wise, so that's good enough for me.
Yeah, good enough for me.
All right, this next guy, this is a big conversation I wanted to have over you with this. With the injury to Damian Dola, high ankle injury, done for the season, that's going to open the door even more for Michael Mitchell, right?
Yeah, man. You know, I've been very like, you know, it was a fluke. It was a fluke. It was a fluke for the last 3 weeks. But, yeah, with this injury to Amendola, it's definitely puts his foot in the door and, you know, essentially – has him, you know, as the guy opposite Edelman. So in a Tom Brady offense, you know, that is invaluable. So I think that you definitely have to toot his horn, and he has to be a priority ad in nearly all leagues.
Well, I got some reasons for him, and also I have some reasons against him.
Okay.
Some of the reasons for him, 85% of the snaps this past week, and he's got 22 targets the past 3 weeks, 222 yards, 3 touchdowns. Also, this past week, New England went 11 plays with no tight end. Prior to that, they had 9 all year. So that's some stuff that's working in his favor. But here's some stuff against him. Julian Edelman had 40 targets the past 3 weeks. Deion Lewis had 17 targets, and James White had 20 targets, and then Bennett and Hogan combined for 21 targets. There's a lot of mouths to feed in this offense.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And you know, I oversaw the return of Deion Lewis. I totally forgot about that. And when I was talking about Malcolm Mitchell, but you know. Yeah, there is a lot of mouths to feed, so that's a very good point you bring up. But I think in you know, being that opposite receiver of Julian Edelman definitely has its value. Where he, and you said it yourself, you know, he's playing over 80% of the snaps, so the opportunity is there each play for him to get looks. So I think that I'm still on the camp of, you know, if he's available in your league, you need to pick him up.
He's a wide receiver 3 for me that belongs on my roster.
Absolutely. I think that he's a guy that belongs on anybody's roster.
All right. The next guy I want to talk about is Ted Ginn Jr. 3 straight touchdowns in consecutive weeks. 41 targets since his bye. But he's still boom or bust.
As Cam Newton said, we didn't lose this game because of a tie. I just had to say that. I thought that was hilarious.
I know where you're going with it.
Yeah, I just, you know, I thought that press conference was fucking hilarious. And then the outfit he was wearing, he looked like fucking Nightwing. I don't know. Anyway.
That's a team violation in my opinion.
Yeah, that what he was wearing was a uniform violation. I don't give a fuck about the tie. I give a fuck about what he looks like, a fucking detective from the 90s. Or fucking 80s, or I don't know where. I can't even say that you're right. Anyways,
like the 40s?
The 40s, that's what I meant. While we're on the subject, though, Ted Ginn, I'm not rushing to pick him up. Kelvin Benjamin's taking a step back. Greg Olsen's taking a step back. Everybody else. I think you'd have to be in a really bad position to want to own Ted Ginn because, you know, number one, he drops all his pass, or he'll it's a 50% chance he's going to drop a pass before it even leaves Cam Newton's arm. And then, second of all, you know, he's kind of a one-trick pony. He just stretches the field, you know, that's it. He's like Marquise Goodwin over in Buffalo. I say fire just on the simple premise. I can't trust the guy.
All right. Real quick question. Do you feel like Inman has passed up Travis Benjamin on the depth chart?
Say it again.
Do you feel like Inman has passed up Travis Benjamin on the depth chart?
Yes. I think now the two guys to own and, you know, keep an eye on this, you know, Tyrell Williams, obviously this labrum tier, he got a nice 40-yard touchdown, you know, which got his fantasy nut, but other than that, he didn't do a whole lot, so I would definitely keep an eye on that, and, yeah.
Well, neither did Inman.
What's that?
Inman only had 2 catches.
No, I know.
He had 49 yards for the touchdown.
Yeah, I know, that's what I'm saying, though, is I think it has happened that way, because, you know, Travis Benjamin hasn't really been a reliable target all year anyways, so I think that the San Diego, like, receiver core is going to be really hard to figure out going forward.
All right. LaFell's touchdown dependent, so let's leave him there. How do you feel about Thielen? 9 targets, 7 catches, 86 yards.
Yeah, he's passed Cordarrelle Patterson on the depth chart. I know, everybody laughed.
Congratulations.
I think that I would feel much more comfortable starting if there was a significant injury to Diggs, but, you know, now that, you know, this isn't a high enough volume passing offense to feed multiple mouths, and, you know, Diggs is the mouth that's going to get fed first, so I would go ahead and I would have to say you'd have to be pretty desperate to start him on your team, especially, like, around playoff time.
Yeah, I feel like 86 yards and 9 targets is, like, his ceiling.
Yeah.
He's not going to do anything better.
Think about it. Consistently, week in, week out, Sam Bradford's line is going to be like 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, or 1 interception, you know? That's how it's going to look every week.
All right, let's go over to tight end. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it. I think there's only a couple names we really need to bring up.
Well, Gronk is still 69% owned.
Yeah, keep him on your team. I don't know why. Yeah, he's going to come back. Not get rid of him.
If RG3 becomes the quarterback, do you feel like Barnage is droppable? I do.
Yes. I think, honest, to be completely honest with you at this point, I think if you have Gary Barnage on your team still, somehow I would drop him and pick up Pitta. I would rather have Pitta on my team than I would Gary Barnage.
Would you rather have Pitta than Julius Thomas? I couldn't even say it with a straight face.
Yeah, if you have him on your bench, you're fucking up. Just drop him. You know, I can't even tell you who I would rather have on my team than Julius Thomas. I'd rather have fucking, I don't even know. I don't even want to get into it right now. Let's keep going.
CJ Fedorowicz, I talk about him a lot. He's 40% owned now.
Yeah.
He had 9 targets, 6 catches for 44 yards. He keeps getting his touchdown stolen.
Yeah, I know. That's the unfortunate part. But he has a very unique distinction, haven't you heard, Johnny? He's the only receiver in that Houston offense that can catch a pass from Brock Osweiler. So I think with that being said, you have to sit here and, you know, wow, you know, you just have to sit there and slow clap for him and be like, God praise you, man. So Yes, yeah, I'm going to toot the horn on Fedorowicz too. I know I've been kind of writing him off, but yeah, he's the only one that catches pass in that offense. So if you need, if you're doing horrible at tight end in the position, I think that he could definitely shore up your lineup.
I do like his remaining schedule.
Yeah, I do. The schedule versus tight ends is really nice.
Indianapolis, Jacksonville, Cincinnati. Jacksonville's kind of tough.
Yeah.
The rest are pretty good.
Definitely. I totally agree.
Depending on the whether Jordan Reed's going to play, I think that Vernon Davis could be a nice pickup. 37% owned. He had 6 targets, 5 receptions for 47 yards against the number one tight end defense in the league.
Yeah, he ended up turning a somewhat good stat line against a really tough matchup. And I think that this is definitely something to keep your eye on, because if Reed misses – you know, another week or two, you know, he's going to be a guy to have, because, you know, Kirk Cousins loves throwing the tight end, and Vernon Davis is getting utilized more than he did in Denver last year. So I think you have to take your hat off to him and, yeah, just watch that situation, let it develop.
Dennis Pitta's coming off his best game in probably like 3 or 4 years. How do you feel about him?
I mean, inconsistent, to say the least. But at the same token, you know, a lot of people are going to be jumping at that stat line this week. I wouldn't so much. I wouldn't waste my waiver priority on him. But if he's still out there and, you know, you're really not feeling comfortable with your tight end going forward for the playoffs because you might need to take some chances, I wouldn't give my seal of approval on it. But, you know, I'm just going to say he's out there at your own risk.
I'm going to bring this next name up because I know you hate him. Dwayne Allen had 3 touchdowns.
You know what? I got to give it to him. I hate Dwayne Allen, but you know what? I don't think anybody saw this coming. I don't care what fantasy football expert is out there. Nobody saw that coming. So, yeah, I mean, I could sit here and go deep with these tight ends all day, but I don't even know if I can make heads or tails of half of them. You know, it's kind of a crapshoot.
I know the one guy you're probably not happy with, Kendricks.
Oh, Lance Kendricks, yeah. The minute I try to trust the Rams, you know, obviously I had my playoff and my first round bye, you know, pretty much clinched. But I was like, yeah, I'll give him a start. Yeah, no, I can't trust the Rams at all. I can't trust a single one of them.
I think a guy still out there though. This is probably the top pick for tight end is Ladarius Green. He's 23% owned. I feel really bad for my pops. I told him not to play him, and now he's going to miss the playoffs. He's going to miss it regardless, though.
Yeah, he didn't play. He played Green, or he didn't play Green?
He did not.
Wow. You know what? You do it to yourself.
Six
you know?
Catches, 110 yards, and a touchdown.
I know, man. He blew the fuck up. It cost him a playoff spot, but, you know, hey. To be completely honest, he wouldn't have made it anyways because Andrew Luck blew up.
That's what I'm saying. It wouldn't have made a difference.
Yeah. Either way, you know, you can't fight luck. Anyways, getting back on subject.
Well, if you would have played West too, then maybe.
Yeah, maybe so. yeah. Well, I mean, who would have thought Kent Dixon over West? Anyways, yeah, Ladarius Green, man. As far as tight ends go, if you need to shore up that position, he's as close as you're gonna get to a priority add. So, yeah, if that's your real position of need going in. I mean, any offense that has Ben Roethlisberger's quarterback, you know, in, you know, such a dynamic offense where they have to key in on multiple guys, you know, they got to key in on Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, Big Ben. So that's got to leave one guy open. So one guy's going to consistently get open. And in that offense, it's a huge opportunity offense.
Yeah, it's interesting to note that he only played 48% of the snaps, but he had 11 targets.
Yeah, that should tell you something right there.
Yeah. One more speculative ad and then we'll be done. I never thought I'd say this in all my life, but I'm about to bring up an Arizona tight end.
Oh, God.
Jermaine Gresham. The last 3 games, he had 33 yards and a touchdown, 35 yards and a touchdown. And this past week, he had 5 catches, 52 yards. Next 2 weeks, he plays Miami and the Saints. I wouldn't trust it, but I'm just saying I want to keep my eye on it.
I would keep my eye on it, too. I would not trust it by any means. But the thing to be said here is Arizona's receivers, you know, sans Larry Fitzgerald, have taken a huge, you know, downgrade. So Somebody's got to step up, and you know Gresham has started to step up. So you know, keep an eye on it, but I wouldn't jump to go get him this week.
Yeah, like I said, they got to throw it to someone.
You'd have to be pretty desperate.
All right, so that'll pretty much do it for our waiver wire show. If you like the show, please go on iTunes and leave us a rate review. You can also find us on Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio. You can find us on Podcast Addict. You can leave us rates and reviews anywhere on there. I'll greatly appreciate it. I'll even read it. So, is there anything else you want to say, Kamo?
No, man. Thanks, guys, for all the support. We really appreciate it. Please rate and review us. We can't get better unless you help us out. Good luck to everybody who made it to the playoffs this year. Half of you didn't. We still hope you listen to the show so you can get more tips for next year. But for the guys that made the playoffs, you know, great work this year, and hopefully you win that championship. We want to win together.
You know, maybe for episode 50, we should make a tribute show to the fans that are still listening, and we'll talk a little bit of playoff strategy.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we do need to do something like that. Yeah, because, you know, that's where it gets tricky because, you know, there's a lot of strategy that goes into it. Hey, do I start my studs? Hey, do I go with this guy that I don't completely trust? You know, there's a lot of ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah, it's definitely a situation what we'll talk about. I mean, a lot of lineup decisions. Who should I add? Who should I drop? What kind of matchup am I looking at this week? Still, though, look at the transaction log every day, three times a day. You'll be surprised at some people that are dropping guys just because they're in a bad matchup for 1 week. And, you know, it can really help. You gotta think, half the teams that didn't make the playoffs, they're probably done making ads.
Yeah.
So, we'll get into more of that when we do our show.
Yeah, exactly. It's gonna be you and five.
Like, when I do that Wednesday?
Yeah, let's do it Wednesday.
All right, that's a done deal. We'll sit down. We're going to be doing some playoff strategy on Wednesday.
So we're just going to do a short show on Wednesday and then do our matchups on Thursday?
Sounds like a plan.
All right.
All right, that'll pretty much do it for today's show. Thank you for listening, Fit Downers. Hopefully we gave you that extra down advantage.